Every week, our first guest shares his views in the pages of the Lansing City Pulse, where he serves as associate publisher. Recently, Mickey Hurton has opined on a potential sale of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, a good move in his view, and the future of the Lansing City market. He's currently at work on a column that will look into a recent initiative by the Catholic Diocese of Lansing to assist the poor in the city of Flint. We welcome back to Current State Mickey Hurton.
Well, thank you for having me.
How are you? How's life at the paper?
Well, it's not bad. I was thinking of your road question. Is there a good road? I mean, the answer may be none.
None of the above.
No good alternative.
Well, it's funny how that happened. As I said, I was barely aware of it, but in the back of my mind, I had just basically created, I don't go there. Yeah. Don't go down that street. Find some other way to get to where you want to go.
I think the miracle is that you found the other way.
Yeah. Mayor, let's talk BWL here. Mayor Bernero's consideration to possibly sell the BWL is triggered by his concern over the possible future insolvency of the city. In his view, Lansing has a roughly $600 million long-term debt, but you cite a, quote, more pressing, unquote, reason to unload the BWL. What is that?
Well, I think the operating the utility today is really beyond the capacity of the city. It used to be, it must have been a simpler task, but the fact that they fired the last three general managers, that they have tens of hundreds of millions of dollars in new expenses that they need for power plants and transmission lines, they're just, and it's not a core city function. When you think about smaller city governments these days and what they really need to do, why run a utility when you've got lots of opportunities to have professional, highly professional, large companies provide that? So it's just, it's not something the city should be doing anymore.
I'm wondering if General McDaniel's team, though, the community review team, and more importantly, the report that they filed, didn't that really offer a way toward manageability?
Yeah, it did, but I mean, you can always manage it, but can you do it efficiently? I mean, there's other opportunities. The problem is the world is changing. The city's needs are changing. So much has happened. The BWL was probably pretty effective when you had General Motors down there and Buick, you know, and massive old-time plants. Right now, why be in that business? And they have not demonstrated the capacity to run it well. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what happened. And even the mayor does not really trust the board because he wants his own people in there doing audits, doing, you know,
inspectors,
yes. So
if the city council had deemed fit to move on Verge's inspector general idea, who would presumably work with the mayor, could the utility have been better run that way?
Maybe, maybe not. But even this is so dysfunctional. I mean, it's not as if they're operating in Indianapolis and you've got, you know, Lansing here. I mean, they're seven or eight blocks apart. Why the difficulty in communicating and dealing with the utility and the city? They should be on the same page. They probably are, but it's so challenging to make it happen. And look at the board, the poor board. I mean, they do their best, but they're really mismatched when it comes to trying to manage something as sophisticated as a utility. You have alternative power. You have federal requirements. You have state requirements. You have transmission issues. You have power generation issues. It's pretty tough. And you look at who helps big utilities run, and it's professional boards of directors, top people in their fields. Mm. We're mismatched. And we don't have to do it. That's the beauty of it. The difference in price between what we would pay from consumers and what many of us pay from consumers and what people pay from BWL is not that great. And the difference is diminishing.
Let me ask you a real theoretical question here,
sure,
though. If the city were able to manage the utility responsibly and profitably, would the legacy costs alone that so preoccupy Mayor Bernero, would those alone be enough to justify a sale?
Probably, because how
$600 million.
Where else does the city come up with that money? And it's not just the legacy cost. There's also opportunities, if you were to get rid of the utility, to invest in the city. Things like roads, infrastructure, cultural, you know, they've always wanted to have an art center. There are so many things that could be done, and you could subsidize the poor and the people who are paying the higher possibly higher rates, but not that much higher. So there's an opportunity cost. It's a tremendous asset that the city ought to use and invest in the best possible way.
How intense do you think this discussion is going to get? I mean, a lot of people consider the BWL the jewel of, you know, the jewel in the crown of the city of Lansing. Others refer to it as a cash cow. How intense do you think this discussion will get?
What's likely to happen? Who knows? I mean, I guess a lot of it will depend on money. If the mayor works out a deal with Dave Hollister and his financial committee and they look at it, what they will do then is go outside and get experts to come in, look at the real value and the potential sale. It'll probably be look, I mean, this city is pretty fractious. I mean, they don't agree on much. The council generally disagrees with the mayor. People have this feeling that it's a jewel. I mean, I'd ask him to defend why it's a jewel and why it's the best use of the city's long-term money.
Mickey Hurton is weekly columnist and the associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse. Here on Current State, the Lansing City market's been a disappointment to many who had hoped it would help revitalize the downtown corridor. But after 4 years, the market is struggling to keep vendors and attract shoppers. You've been pretty vocal about the market's failings. What would you say are its biggest problems?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's a demand for it. I mean, clearly, they started out with lots of merchants. They now have very few. It's hard for people to have a successful business in that location selling what they sell. There really is no need for that market the way it's been set up. There are ample food stores within miles of the market. It's bad location. It's on a one-way street. Now it's hidden behind a big apartment complex. But there are good uses for that space. And you see it in there. You have a bar, the Waterfront Grill or whatever it's called, does very, very well. And just outside of its confines, merchants are struggling. Well, maybe the point is follow the market. What are people looking for there? And if you think about that, there is a limited amount of waterfront dining and opportunity in this market. I mean, our waterfront, our river, is pretty much bounded by some parks and buildings. Mm-hmm. An opportunity to take that and go where people really want to go, which would be, you know, which would bars and restaurants and those kinds of dining facilities.
Do you think that the recent residential developments here, the Marketplace Apartments, are they a factor?
They could be.
More people living nearby.
But you need a lot of people living nearby. I mean, the city has increased the number of people living downtown rather dramatically in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. But, you know, Cooley is cut back, so there are fewer Cooley students. But why would people go there? And it's hard. Look, it's hard to be a merchant. You need to be there 7 days a week, you know, for most of the day. And a lot of the people who've ended up trying to set up businesses there are small-time people. They have, you know, retirement income. It's a family business. It's just not, it's not practical the way they set it up. But there are opportunities, and I think the city's sort of recognizing that. And I expect that they will try to do the best they can on that soon and probably make some real changes.
In January, you wrote that the city should cut its losses and get out of the market business. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, look, it would be nice if it worked, but those kinds of markets, again, why is the city running a market? The city has things it does well. It needs police. It needs roads. It can help with social service issues, courts, things like that. Running a business and a market is really not a core function. Look, the city budget continues to decline every year. The number of people involved in city government declines every year. Governments are smaller now than they were 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. As they get smaller, they really need to focus on, what do I have to do? What do people really need from me? And do they really need organic bananas from a city facility?
Interesting how we're the linkage between the BWL and the city market. They are arguably both assets that
right.
Maybe ought to be cut loose.
But they all reflect the transition. You know, I mean, we think of city government in traditional terms. We've done that, so we must do that forever. Businesses don't operate that way. Families don't operate that way. Everything is changing. And the city is a little reluctant or has trouble making these sorts of changes.
Mickey Hurton of the Lansing City Pulse is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. I want to switch gears a little bit because this is all over the news just about every day. You're a Democrat. What do you make of the current field of presidential candidates? We're up to four now.
We have four,
correct?
Right.
Clinton, Sanders, Martin O'Malley, and Link Chafee.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I mean, Clinton is clearly far ahead. Okay, we'll just take that as a given. And I don't know much about Chafee, I have to say that. But I did have deal with Bernie Sanders when I was editor of the paper in Vermont. And he would come in, and I found him very committed, but absolutely the most humorless person I have ever met. I could never conceive of Sanders telling a joke. And he's also very thin-skinned and pretty pretentious. And we had some real run-ins, some very, vocal fights with him. But he represents a point of view that resonates with lots of people, and he will do a great deal to sort of push the field, I think, into a more progressive view. O'Malley is also interesting because I lived a long time in Baltimore.
He's a very charismatic guy, from what I understand.
But he's got, and he did a good job as mayor and I guess as governor. But Baltimore's a mess. It just flat out is. I was there two or three weeks ago. I went to the Preakness.
Oh, yeah.
And toured through the city and have a lot of good contacts there. And I wrote another column about this. It's just a city. It really is a tale of two cities. There's a glossy veneer of high-end, high apartments, restaurants, nightlife along the Inner Harbor and the waterfront. And you move inside within, half mile, and you've got abject poverty and declining populations and things. So O'Malley's record is going to be, I'm just guessing, O'Malley's record is going to be difficult for him to support. I am the savior, when in his own state he's got a basket case. It's not quite Detroit, but it's heading that direction.
Yeah. I want to talk with you about your upcoming column, which focuses on an initiative by the Diocese of Lansing, which covers 10 counties, including Flint, to help low-income people in Flint.
Yeah, I thought.
What do you make of that?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. I spoke with the bishop last week about this, and I'm writing a column. Flint I didn't realize it. I mean, I guess I should, but Flint is just, it's a third world basket case in so many ways. I mean, the most telling statistic is that of all of the eligible people to work, 18 to like 64, only 49% actually worked in the past year. And it goes down from there. The school system's a mess. The police force has been gutted. The Lansing Diocese has looked upon this as, the essence of a social mission, feed the hungry, clothe the poor. And the bishop has taken this and said that we need to do this as a Catholic community. And he believes that by doing this, others will get involved. They set up a website to help. They're looking for help with their schools. They're looking for help with their social service organizations. I just thought it was an interesting project and a different voice, quite honestly, for me than I'm likely to hear from the Catholic Church over the last generation, let's say.
We look forward to the column. Mickey Hurton, associate publisher and weekly columnist at the Lansing City Pulse. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for
Mickey.
Having me.
Always fun.